Most of the time, life is just ticking along, isn't it? There are setbacks, days when we feel flat or low, but mostly there is a predictability to our lives. There are the people we love, work to do, the world around us seems to be okay. We are okay. You could almost call it a certain type of peace, sitting there at the kitchen table, listening to the radio. That is a line from Nick Cave in The Bad Seeds, the spinning song. He says it's one of the last images he has of his wife sitting at the kitchen table listening to the radio before their lives are ruptured, before they hear that their 15-year-old son has died in a tragic accident.
But the feather spun upward, upward and upward, spinning all the weather vanes, and you're sitting at the kitchen table. Listening to the radio.
Out of that rupture of his son's death has come this outpouring of songs from Nick Cave over the last few years as he tries to gather up the pieces. I know some of you might be more familiar with him and his older work than me, but I've become fascinated with his last few albums. This rupture impacts everything, including how he approaches songwriting. He says now he's not interested in writing songs in the traditional sense. So I can't do that anymore. The idea of a song having a linear storyline where everything is tidy, it doesn't work after your life has been ruptured. So his songs have become more experimental. And I think this resonates with Isaiah and what he is doing. And maybe we don't get it. Maybe this is why we don't look at Isaiah or the other prophets too often. Our lives are okay. We might still just know peace at the kitchen table. But the book of Isaiah is responding to a rupture. We will return to this over and over from many different angles. In some sense, this is still very early days in the book, and we are just on the edges of this rupture. Isaiah, like Nick Cave, is writing and speaking and even singing out of rupture. There is this outpouring of words and images and songs as he tries to gather up the pieces. Isaiah 5 opens with a song, and it begins sounding almost like a traditional love ballad. Isaiah 5 verse 1. Now I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a rich and fertile hill. He plowed the land, cleared its stones, and planted it with the best vines. In the middle he built a watchtower and carved the winepress in the nearby rocks. Then he waited for a harvest of sweet grapes, but the grapes that grew were bitter. Everything is okay. Maybe even more than okay. The singer is in love. They want to sing about the one they love, but a little bit curiously, instead of singing directly about their love, as is normally the case, they sing instead about their beloved's vineyard. That was common in this time for men to sing songs about the land and the women they love, and often the two blur together. There are songs of women described as vineyards, songs of lovers meeting among the vines, and that's what this song initially feels like, a romance song about a piece of land, a gorgeous piece of land, vibrant, ripe with life and possibilities, that the land is claimed and cultivated. It is hard and slow work. The man has to shift boulders, pull out weeds, hands deep in the thick soil. He has to select the right vines, dig them into the dirt and give them water. It costs him time and money. This is a labor of love. He builds a wine press and then a watchtower. This is not normally needed, but he's going the extra mile. And for him, it's worth it. This is another layer of protection, deterring any would-be vandals or outside threats. substantial investment. And as he waits for the harvest, he's full of love for this land and these grapes budding on their branches. He daydreams of that moment when he'll be able to sit down at the kitchen table with a glass of the finest wine in his hand, relaxing in the twilight. He imagines selling the grapes as a luxury item, his wines the most sought after in all the land. But then comes the rupture. The grapes are small, bitter in his mouth. Sometimes this can happen, especially if the vines are not properly pruned. The vines, rather than sending out all the good nutrients from the sun and rain to the fruit, can hoard those nutrients in the leaves and branches. Sometimes grapes can become diseased. Maybe a parasite gets in. But these grapes have been attended to, loved. It doesn't make sense. The song ruptures at this point, no longer a love song. It becomes something more experimental. A new voice, the voice of the owner, begins to directly sing to us, trying to put the pieces together somehow. Isaiah 5 verse 3. Now you people of Jerusalem and Judah, you judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard that I have not already done? When I expected sweet grapes, why did my vineyard give me bitter grapes? The singer is bewildered, disorientated. Rupture can do that to you, can't it? We ask why. Why has this happened? I did everything right and then out of nowhere, disaster. I ate well, exercised, and now I'm sick. Why? I worked hard, but the mortgage kept going up and I had to sell and now I have nothing. Why? I was just going about my life, the normal setbacks, but doing okay. And then out of nowhere, there is war in the land. Why? One day I had a house and the next day there's a bushfire and it's burned to the ground. Why? Why do bad things happen to good people? The question lingers. While it doesn't give any answers, it does give us permission to ask such questions. I know there's a lot of discussion around ChatGPT at the moment. The ability of AI to mimic and write almost like a human being is extraordinary. You can ask and there before you are written essays, poems, songs. Some people are excited by the possibilities, others are fearful. Someone asked ChatGPT to write a song like Nick Cave would, and then they sent the lyrics to him asking for a comment, and it's safe to say Nick isn't a fan because songwriting for him comes out of struggle and risk. It comes out of vulnerability and digging deep into the unconscious. To write a song or to sing is to be human, and to be human is often to be bewildered and disorientated and to have questions with no answers. This is what we are given here, and believe it or not, it is a gift. There are times when some Christians, I think, can be uncomfortable with being human. It's almost like the dream is to become an AI system or something. We can sometimes present faith as opposed to doubt. We can sometimes imply that to follow Jesus is a nice, neat, tidy formula you can follow. We sometimes can promise all your questions will be answered. Nothing bad will ever happen to you. And yet when we read Isaiah, we are reminded that to know God is to struggle and risk. It's to be vulnerable. What God longs for us is to become fully human. Or we could say to become more like God, because it turns out this is actually what God is like. God risks. God can become vulnerable. God feels. Isaiah 5 verse 5. Then let me tell you what I'll do to my vineyard. I'll tear down its hedges and let it be destroyed. I'll break down its walls and let the animals trample it. I'll make it a wild place where the vines are not pruned and the ground is not hoed, a place overgrown with briars and thorns. I'll command the clouds to drop no rain on it. Into the rupture can come despair so overwhelming that everything is annihilated in its path. Love can be spent. There is a tearing away of all the order we have sought to establish. There is a smashing and raising, a return to the wild, an abandonment. Now here's the hard and kind of impossible thing to separate out. Who is singing here? It's the owner of the vineyard, yes, but in this last sentence, and they say, I'll command the clouds to drop no rain on it, we start to realize this could be God speaking. And yet it's also Isaiah speaking and trying to make sense of the rupture he sees taking place in his community. Songwriters can almost function like prophets, can't they? Drawing on the mysteries of music and images coming together, songs can be wild, smashing and screaming and pumping. And songs can be quiet and gentle, and sometimes songs can contain both elements. I wonder if this is Isaiah's first attempt. It's the first song we've come across, but it won't be the last. Isaiah is trying to make sense of what he sees around him. He sees a world where romance has disappeared. There's no noble landowner wanting to care for the land. Instead, there are those who can, buying up all the fields and homes, squeezing out those who can't keep up, evicting them off their land and rupturing their lives. There's wild partying and poverty side by side. Bribes are taken, letting the guilty off while the innocent remain in prison. When Isaiah looks around, he does not see Israel producing good fruit. And in response, he crafts this song. A song that is raw and kind of violent. Isaiah seems to almost long for destruction, for smashing and screaming and pumping. He's outraged and distressed by what he sees, and he creates this haunting song. Can songs haunt and speak about what is to come? One of the strange things about the first album Nick Cave released after his son's death, Skeleton Tree, is how much it seems to allude to this death, and yet most of the songs were written while Arthur, Nick's son, was still alive. In fact, the opening song, Jesus Saves, begins with this line: "You fell from the sky, crash-landed in a field near the river Adieu. Flowers spring from the ground." Arthur would die in an accident, falling off a cliff. For Nick, there is something unsettling and spiritual happening in the creation of these songs. And that is what is happening in this song by Isaiah. He's not just singing about a vineyard, he's singing about what is to come. Exile from the land. Isaiah laments and finally makes it clear what and who this song is for. Verse 7. "The nation of Israel is the vineyard of the Lord of heaven's armies. The people of Judah are his pleasant garden. He expected a crop of justice, but instead he found oppression. He expected to find righteousness, but instead he heard cries of violence." It's not just people who ask, why? God is asking, why? Why instead of justice is there oppression? Why instead of righteousness is there violence? Why, when God has poured out such love, is love absent? It's almost like there's this rupture in God, a cry that has no answer. And this is where the song ends. It ends with yearning. It ends with no neat ending. Yet one of the things that people do often speak about after a rupture is, while there is no answers, sometimes there's a heightened sense of connection. Nick Cave recently chatted with Sean O'Hagan about songs and his creative process, and he speaks about his yearning for the divine, for God. He goes through the wilderness and the breaking and smashing, and yet one of the strange things he discovers, that doesn't answer the why, one of the things he discovers is this incredible sense of love. A deep compassion for others, a deep sense of how fragile and lovely everything is, a sense that love holds everything together, and he is transformed. He says, "I'm a different person," and suddenly God seems closer than ever before. I wonder if God suffers and out of that suffering comes a deeper commitment to love. Isn't this one of the mysteries of suffering? We don't want it. We do everything to avoid it. It's terrible. And yet that is the place so often where we grow. There in the rupture is the place where love becomes real and we cling on to it with everything we have. There can come transformation. Reflecting on lockdown, which has been described as this larger form of grief kind of experienced by more people, Nick Cave says, "I may be completely off the mark here, but it does seem possible, even against the criminal incompetence of our governments, the planet's ailing health, the divisiveness that exists everywhere, the shocking lack of mercy and forgiveness, where so many people seem to harbour such an irreparable animosity towards the world and each other, even still, I have hope. Collective grief can bring extraordinary change, a kind of conversion of the spirit, and with it a great opportunity. Jesus also told stories about vineyards, about a landowner who plants the vines and builds a wall to protect the vines, digs the wine press and constructs a watchtower before renting his vineyard out to farmers where he goes away for a while. But every time he sends messengers to collect his share of the harvest, the farmers refuse. They effectively seize the land, beating and killing anyone who dares to claim that the land does not belong to them. Finally, Jesus says, the landowner sends his beloved, his son, thinking surely they'll treat him well, listen to him. But the farmers conspire to kill him, thinking when this is done and the land is soaked with blood, then it'll be truly theirs. They're wrong. They don't get that through rupture comes transformation. Through the death of this beloved son will be a new people who will produce good fruit. There will be justice and an end to oppression. Righteousness, not violence, is what wins in the end. Know this. God is not afraid of ruptures. This is one of the mysteries that songs can express better than I can. That's why we need to listen to music. We discover prophets singing to us of God. Yes, things don't always make sense. There is deep pain, but also deep love. Maybe ruptures are necessary almost to grow, to become a new person who is able to receive grace. Suddenly we are open and God can meet and change us, reworking Isaiah 5 to this. What joy for you who open your house for another. Share your wealth, work towards affordable housing for everyone. What joy to not live alone in the land, but with others. What joy for there to be enough food and drink for all, where corruption is no more and justice truly takes place in the courts, where we care for all the earth. Isaiah will keep writing songs, and he will return to the image of the vineyard, leaving us with a second song in Isaiah 27. Which I think is sometime after the initial shock of rupture, a song that points to hope. And I want us to listen to this song now and give you space to be with God, to pray, to sit and hear this song of hope.